You're listening to Rosie Cole's Vaudeville Broadcast. This program may contain adult content, so if you're under 18, please either get permission or switch it off. So, welcome to this week's episode of the Vaudeville Broadcast. And today I'm very lucky to be in the presence of the lovely Carmen Monoxide.
Hello. Hello.
So, normally I ask, I get things rolling by asking sort of, what do you do for people who do not know you, even though they should?
Well, I'm a singer, is basically what I do. Mm. I specialise in opera, and I like to combine that with my other love, which is punk and heavy metal, and kind of mix the aesthetics and the sounds to make one mad act. I also do a bit of this and a bit of that. Crack whips and escape out of straitjackets.
Oh, you do a bit of the old sideshow whip cracking.
Oh yeah, a little bit of that.
Escapology and.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh. All while singing though, because singing is my main thing, and I think if I'm not singing, that's a bit of a waste.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. Okay, we have so much to talk about. How did you find all these things, and where did they come from? But first, so obviously you're a performer on the cabaret circuit.
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. And would you say that's sort of mainly your core source of work? Is cabaret?
Yeah, I do a bit of this and a bit of that, like most performers. As well as doing my cabaret work, I've just finished a stint singing for old people in old people's homes, getting dressed up as a bee and all like, oh, I do like to be beside the seaside. Come on, darling, that's it, that's right.
The old music hall favourites.
Oh, yes, all those lovely songs that everybody cherishes.
But why did people want to be in an old person's home?
I don't know. Some people were quite scared. You're running at them going, boo, just as a bee. I think it was quite frightening for some of the residents. And I also work at the moment at the London Bridge Experience.
Oh, cool.
I'm playing people from the past.
Character acting.
Apparently I'm an actor now as well.
Well, hey. Yeah. If you're a performer, you can kind of slip into these
that's
roles.
That's it. It's just pretending, isn't it?
Yeah. Actors, it's just pretending.
Yeah, come on.
Loads of you do it. You're all pretending.
Well, no, I've
just
offended loads of people. What I do is just pretending. I mean, obviously, real acting is much harder than that.
There's a craft. There's a craft.
Yeah. I mean, what I do is I just get dressed up in ye olde clothes and go, oh, hello, welcome to my bar. Come in, inside, everybody. Come on. Oh, Jack the Ripper's been out. And it's just quite silly.
Brilliant. It sounds like fun.
It's good, actually. Yeah, it's good.
So, you know. So it's obviously not what you've always done. Not been your...
What, acting? Pretending?
Well, pretending. Hasn't been your line of work for forever. So kind of how did you go... Well, first of all, how did you get into singing?
I've always sung ever since I was a kid, like tiny. And I started having violin lessons and piano lessons, and gradually I gave them up. And then when I was about 13, I started having singing lessons, which I think is what I always wanted anyway. And since then, I just haven't stopped really. Just sung at university, studied music.
Whereabouts did you study?
I studied at the University of Surrey, in brackets, Roehampton.
Oh, attached to Roehampton.
Yes. Yeah. So I just say University of Surrey because it sounds better, doesn't it?
Well, Roehampton, I think Roehampton's quite good, isn't it?
Is it?
I think it's got quite a good rep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just say University of Surrey. We'll just leave it at that.
So did you go to study, was it music as like a general course? Mm-hmm. Or was it?
Yeah, it was music. I did music and linguistics because I thought doing linguistics would help if I wanted to sing in foreign. It didn't really end up like that, but I thought it would help.
Well, yeah, because with opera you sing in other languages.
Yes,
so
yeah. Ended up not being like that, but, you know, it was good. I kind of split the two.
Smart choice, though.
Like, I thought it was, but... Got a degree, that's all that matters, isn't it?
Has the linguistics ever, like, helped with the singing at all, or...?
Sometimes with the phonetic alphabet, you know, it helps to spell things out using the symbols, but really... Not very much.
Yeah. Oh.
But it doesn't matter, does it? You get the piece of paper and that's it.
You got your degree.
You can put BA on everything, and if I'm in a music mood, I say, well, of course I've got a degree in music, darling. And if I'm trying to impress somebody else, I say, well, I've got a degree in linguistics. So it all kinds of works out in the end.
Brilliant. So were you, when you were younger and you were sort of learning all these different art forms, so like all classical and... Like classical violin, classical piano, singing, classical. Yeah. So it's been
pretty
quite...
much. I mean, when you learn singing, you can't do opera until you're over a certain age anyway. Mm. because it's too much for your voice.
How old is that normally?
It depends. About 18, you normally start doing opera. Mm. I mean, you could do little kind of classical pieces, and you do a mixture of this and a mixture of that. But the big star, you really can't sing until you get a bit older, until your voice matures.
That's true,
because you can damage your voice.
Because I started singing lessons when I was 15, mm-hmm. and I took to it like duck to water.
Yeah.
Love it. I kind of want to bring it in to my performance a bit more. I really miss it. But I didn't do, you do a few arias, like small, just classical pieces. Yeah. And then when I was 18, I was allowed to sing something from Così fan tutte, mm-hmm. which I was like, oh, this is real classical.
Yeah.
Bloody hard. It's intense. It. Yeah. And I wanted to keep going, keep singing it. My teacher came at home and be like, no, we have to take a break now.
Yeah.
I was like, all right then.
Yeah.
It's quite tough on the voice.
It is. Yeah. That's it. You always kind of do a mixed bag when you start and go from there.
Mm. So when you were... when you were younger, did you get to perform much, or was it mainly just in your lessons? Or
I did a lot of theatre groups and stuff like that, cool. And then as I got older, I did choirs, which I hated. I don't know why, I just hated it.
What, just being in a choir?
Being in a choir, hated
it. Is it because everyone else sounded shit?
I don't think so. I think it was that it was kind of hard work, but you don't get to be like, oh, I'm the star, wasn't that amazing? You're just like, oh, I was just part of a choir, yeah. And I just never took the time to learn the music, and I was a bit of a rebel when I was younger. And I was just like, I don't really want to do this. And I was just in the choir, but I was just like, I don't care, just turn up,
off.
Pretend that I'm singing, and yeah. Shouldn't
Model
be telling
student.
You this. Oh, yeah.
So when you were at uni, did you get involved in theatre at all when you were there? Or
yep, I did a production of The Wiz. Which is, I don't know if you know, it's the Black Wizard of Oz.
Oh yeah.
And I can't remember if there was any black people in it, but we did this, and I was like the big kind of Wicked Witch of the West, big kind of over the top character.
Yeah.
Witchy, and it was brilliant. I loved doing that.
That sounds like so much fun.
Had someone kissing my feet and wheeling me around, and that was great.
Which is exactly what the life of a cabaret performer is like now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
glamorous.
The glamour. Yeah, absolutely. I never get changed in toilets or, I don't know, shave my armpits in the toilets before I go on stage. Never.
So, obviously, music has always been your passion, but where did you get the idea to start singing? Can you describe the way your act kind of goes when you're performing? Is there?
Well, I mean, I've got quite a few different acts. I know the act that you saw me perform is an opera version of the Dead Kennedys, California Uber Alice.
Oh, yeah. Did I see that? I saw that the Cirque du Soir auditions with your amazing Viking outfit.
Yeah, I think combining good outfits. My mum's a dressmaker, so that really helps.
That is... Very useful.
Very useful. So combining the good outfits, the visual element, because, people really remember that. If they don't remember your act, they remember the way you look. And if you can attract people's attention as soon as you walk on stage, before you open your mouth, I think you're already onto a winner. Mm. My California Uber Alice act. Actually, I don't use the Valkyrie costume for that anymore. I've developed another act with it,
which is
kind of Vivian Westwood 18th century punk.
Yeah.
My mum's made me a proper 18th century. I've got a massive wig, like foot-high wig, and this black and white dress. And it's kind of a bit up yours. I'm kind of Marie Antoinette. Like,
yeah,
kiss my hand,
I was
going to
say
and
totally mental Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, it's very
amazing.
Over the top. And, but really punk as well.
So where did that inspiration come from to start doing that? Was it just like... I love punk and metal and
just
all the rebelliousness, and you're like, but I also love opera and singing, so
yeah, basically,
just
yeah,
do it.
Yeah. I just knew that song would work really well as a kind of operatic song, and I've looked for other punk and metal songs that would work as well, but so far I haven't found one. That one is just the one, and I did it first time at Cirque du Soir in Dubai.
Oh yeah, I want to talk about that a bit later.
Yeah,
I definitely want to talk about. Because I want to figure out, I want to know all about Cirque du Soir Dubai.
Yeah, I don't think they knew what had hit them. It was at a punk night, and I was just on stage like, wow, yeah, in Dubai. And they were just like, whoa, who is this mad chick?
That's amazing. It's so good.
Yeah. And I thought this song and this kind of feeling and like everything about it just has to, I have to keep it. I have to do an act out of it. So that's what I decided to do.
Yeah. So you studied music at university, obviously singing throughout university and becoming involved in musical theatre and performance. Yeah. And then when you left university, what did you do?
Bummed around.
In what fashion did you bum around?
Well,
how did you survive?
Well, I was living in a squat, so I didn't need that much money. I was working part-time in the Science Museum, explaining science to young people and families.
They sometimes hire, they call them explainers, don't they?
I was an explainer,
That's really fun. Was
that
it fun?
A good job. I was doing it for 5 years. I loved it, yeah. But after 5 years, I just couldn't do it anymore.
Mm.
When you're like, oh, I can't be bothered to go to work. And your work is making bubbles and explaining. And you think, actually,
You need a break.
Yeah, I need to stop doing this, you know. Like,
don't want to get jaded about making bubbles. No, that's exactly. Such an awful way of feeling.
You're like, oh my god, the bubble mix isn't right. The bubble mix isn't right. What are we going to do? And that is your issue of the day. You think, this is not actually real work. This is brilliant. But you kind of, after 5 years, just need a change. And anyway, I left so I could go travelling.
Mm.
So I went travelling for a year. And it's kind of when I went travelling that I decided, I don't want to do anything else. I really want to sing. So I just did it.
But what was it like? So I know a couple of people who've lived in squats before. Mm. Kind of, how did you fall into that? Did you just like? Did you have friends who?
My ex-boyfriend was living in a squat, and I met him while I was at university, and just decided to move in with him. Thought this is cool. I really liked his housemates, who were absolutely brilliant, and we're still all friends. We're friends, all of us still, even though like most of them got kids now and they're living all over the world. Are still all really good friends. So
yeah,
it was just great.
Yeah,
loved it.
Sounds like a... Was there ever any fear about, like, we're going to get kicked out, or...
Oh, God, yeah. We did get kicked out. Numerous occasions.
Yeah.
Sort of sitting on the street, surrounded by 20 people's belongings. Actually, this one time, we were sitting in a park, just with everybody's stuff. And we were just really tired, and just like, oh, my God, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? People are going, how much for the bike, mate? How much for the bike? And we're like, no, it's not for sale. It's not a sale. We've just been kicked out. Some old woman from down the road said, I bought you a flask of tea and some cake. Like, oh, thank you.
Aww.
In the middle of winter, just sitting on a sofa in the street with a blanket over us. But
bloody hell.
That's squatting. And it was good while it lasted and I enjoyed it.
Yeah. How long was that? Like the whole 5 years you were?
Quite long. Yeah. Eight years.
Yeah.
Quite a long time. Yeah.
It's quite an insecure sort of existence.
It really is. And like the more costumes and props and show stuff that I got, the more I realised, actually, I can't do this anymore. If I get kicked out and if I lose everything, which can happen, I can't make a living. And my costumes and my props and my wigs and all this stuff, it's priceless because my mum's made most of it as well.
Yeah. But also it's your bread and butter. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It is your act. A huge, it's like 50% is, you know, 50% is you and your incredible stage presence and your voice and your ideas. And then the other 50% is like how you look and all the money you've invested into how you look.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've kind of decided squatting isn't for me anymore. I lived in a van for a bit. Lived in a big Sprinter. And
do you have it set up in the back kind of like...
I haven't got it on it anymore.
Was it like mattress and a... Or did you probably convert the back?
Yeah, well, it had a bed and a cooker in it already.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So it was made for living. It wasn't just like, I bought a van. I'm going to put some
stuff
in it.
Well, it was like a white man van.
Yeah. but yeah, it was kitted out a bit better.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
So I lived in that for about a year.
Yeah.
Which is a bit mental.
When I did a tour with a circus and... one of the guys at the circus was fed up of living in a crappy, beat-up old caravan, so he bought a horse lorry and converted it himself.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful vintage horse lorry, and he was, like, sanding the floors, and he put a bed in, and he put all the fittings in. Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. You know, I think people get quite myopic about the places that they can live and how they can survive. And actually, one of the things that living in the circus taught me, because it was pretty much just living outside for, like, 6 months, is people are so adaptable. Like,
that's it, isn't it?
If you decide you're going to have fun and you're going to like it, you're going to have fun and you're going to like it, and it'll be a good existence.
Yeah, just get on with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you learn stuff along the way and get better at things and
save a lot of money.
And save money, yeah.
Save a lot of money not having like gas bills and heating bills and you know, mortgage, and it's kind of nice.
All of that stuff.
So while you were living in a squat and you were kind of decided you didn't want to be an explainer for the Science Museum mm-hmm. anymore, how did you start thinking like, okay, I'm going to do my first gig, I'm going to do this character, I'm going to do this? What was your thought process behind that?
Well, I went away travelling to Australia, Southeast Asia and then Australia. And when I was in Australia, I couldn't get a job anywhere. So I just thought, you know what, I'll start busking. So I started busking, but because I didn't have any backing tracks or anything, kind of, you can't do musical theatre, you can't do jazz really with no backing track, it's rubbish. So I thought, you know,
it's
what,
big,
I'll just sing.
Spaces, aren't there? There's like, jazz is so, like, all the lines are so integral.
Exactly. So I just thought, you know what, I'll just start singing all the classical stuff that I know. And
had you kept up with like singing lessons in this time, or were you just practicing by yourself?
No,
just doing it for fun.
I just thought, right, what do I know? Oh, I know this, I know that, I know something else, and just singing whatever I could remember. And people started giving me money, and I was like, really? And it was like a bit of a revelation to me, like, I'm actually making money. And I think people just loved it, because I had dreadlocks, piercings, big boots, and I was kind of just this big heavy metal character singing this opera, and people just loved it. And then eventually I bought myself, oh no, that's what happened. I got a job, because I was still trying to get a job, because I wasn't making enough really busking. I got a job in a call centre. Like, hello, this is Carmen. I'm phoning from Médecins Sans Frontières. I know you're already donating, but this is happening. Could you donate a bit more? And it was just so awful. I used to drink loads of tea so that I'd have to go for a wee every 20 minutes. And I was so bad at this job, like really, really bad. And just this one night I'd had a really bad shift. And you had to count how many people you'd phoned, how many yeses you had, how many noes you had. So I went to the boss, I said, there you go, counted them, and he said, count them again. And I was like, oh yeah, sorry, I messed this up because blah, blah, blah. Gave them back to him, counted them, he said, count them again. I was just like, you know, if I've made a mistake, you've already counted them, you write it down, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, count them again. I was like, you know what, I'm not counting them again. You count them, you can count them, do it yourself. I'm leaving I'm leaving to become a singer, fuck you, like that. And I just like shouted, I'm leaving to become a singer in front of all these people on the telephones, and someone just went, good luck. And I was just like, yeah,
just stormed out,
just left. Yeah,
this is back in the UK.
Deepest drop. No, this,
this
is in Australia.
This is
in Australia.
Why was he getting you to count them like a million times? Was he just trying to prove a point,
just
or
because,
like...
I counted them wrong, and I don't know, yeah, trying to, I don't know, be a dickhead. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I just hate people who treat people like that, and it just really riled
it's
me.
It's so petty.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's so freaking petty.
I made a mistake, you know, big deal.
Yeah, well, that's one thing
I will
say.
If you counted them already, just say, look, you made a mistake. Can you be a bit more careful next time? And I'll say, of course.
Yeah.
But,
and then, it's so funny to me, having, obviously, as a performer and an artist, like, I've done all the temp jobs.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people will sacrifice the happiness of their team for some petty urge to be right, or to be, like, you know, in charge. And it's like, by doing that, you have put me in a bad mood, which makes me not want to do good work for you, which kind of has a knock-on effect of all the people I'm working with.
I hate
with
it. I haven't come across this kind of attitude that many times, but it makes my blood boil. Just think, why treat people like that?
This was pointless, isn't it?
Yeah, you're the boss. I know you're the boss. You're better than me, obviously, because you are the boss, and I'm just kind of some, I don't know, slave to the wage. But, you know.
We all are.
Just be cool.
Yeah, I mean, he is in like another way. You know, there's someone above him.
Exactly.
There's probably someone above him. There's someone above that. Like, is it? All these power structures are just made up.
Yeah.
Like, humans just made them up. Like, there's no reason that anyone is more important than anyone else, apart from the fact that someone else said so. Well, who's that person?
Yeah.
Another person.
Stupid.
We made it all up. So you had an epic, like, fuck you all, I'm going to be a singer.
Deepest drop, I think it probably was. And
well, go opera singer, bound to have at absolutely, least one deepest drop.
I've had a few more than that, but normally with good reason. I mean, I don't make a habit of it. Yeah, so I quit my job and I was like, I've got to sort this out. So I went to the charity shop the next day and I bought a cape. And I went to the party shop and I bought a horned helmet because I thought I need to kind of upgrade my act. So I've got my stupid horned helmet and my cape and that, and kind of the money got more. And I realised, you know what, I can actually do this. I could be a singer. And back in London, I was living with this girl, Emma, in a squat. And she used to run a company called Los Vagueness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember them. They used to do a field at Glastonbury where Shangri-La is now. And they used to be quite a big entertainment company. And yeah, she co-run it with this man, Roy. And so I emailed her and I said, Emma, I've got this amazing act. Amazing. It's like opera, cabaret. And I didn't have anything. I just made this act up. Like, oh, you'll love it. She's like, right, I want to book you for Glastonbury. I was like, oh my God, yes, like, wow, I haven't done this. And it turned out Glastonbury didn't happen, but she wanted to book me for something else anyway. And it was a gig in Doncaster, and they paid for my travel to get up there. They paid for a hotel. They paid me to sing. And I was just like, this is amazing. People are going to pay me to go and sing. And I probably wasn't any good at all. But people loved it anyway. And people were like, oh my God, listen to her sing. Like, she's amazing. She's amazing. And I met some cabaret performers there who since booked me. And, you know, there was a gig with, I think Pastor was performing there. Anaphylaxis.
Yeah.
So some quite big people, Voltini, people who are still, you know, knocking around the cabaret circuit.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
That kind of made me think, big name. Yeah, that's it.
That's so cool. So, like, the really kind of out there avant-garde set.
I mean, what the man wanted, or what Roy wanted, was he said he wanted fucked up opera. I was like, okay, I'm going to get this really, like, minimalist backing track, and I'll sing opera over it, and I'll have the backing track for me in my headphones so I can kind of keep in key and everything, and I'll sing to that. And I put this on, started singing. Afterwards, I was like, what do you think of that, Roy? He was like, well, I don't know fuck all about opera. And I was like, oh God, he doesn't like it. He just said, opera's weird enough as it is, just put the normal backing track on. So I just sang straight opera, dressed in a straight jacket. I can't remember, some asylum theme or something. Dressed in a straight jacket or a lab coat, I think it was, and a top hat, and kind of cabaret doctor style.
Singing opera,
yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Pretty bonkers.
And it just came out of you being like, hey, living with a person who runs this incredible agency.
You want to book me. It's amazing. That was it. Yeah. Kind of, you know, that kind of, sometimes you have to have the balls to.
Do you look back and just be like, shit, I had balls.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it, isn't it? Yeah.
I feel like such a chicken. Like, you just not worry about whether you're good enough. Just kind of. Just go for it. If you want it, just go for it.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I mean, you can spend your life thinking, I'm not good enough to apply to this promoter or this promoter, or I haven't got the video, or I haven't got the CV, or I haven't got this, or I haven't got that. But you're never going to have a perfect everything. You just got to do it, haven't you? And you've got to do it again and again and again, and, you know.
Until finally they're like, all right, I give in.
Yeah. It's tough, isn't it? The promo side of it is really tough.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to do promo. I wanted to be a singer, but.
Yeah.
She has to do this other stuff as well.
Yeah. Well, that's. It's part of the sort of horrible deal you accept. It's like, you get to do the thing that you love the most in the world for 20% of the time.
Yeah.
And then 80% of the time, you're doing all the shit you never thought you had to do and you thought you could escape.
I'm amazing. You know, you should book me. I'm definitely the most brilliant. Yeah.
I definitely fit in with the theme for your night. Maybe, I'm not sure. I'll just email anyway.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
I can make it fit, just tell me and I'll change it.
No, we want cheesecake burlesque. You're definitely going to want punk opera. It's going to juxtapose the cheesecake beautifully.
Shut up, I have a degree.
In music, not linguistics.
Exactly. This is exactly what you want to do. So you did this incredible gig with some scarily high pressure. I mean, did you know much about the circuit at that time, or did you?
No, I really didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know hardly anything. So I mean, I knew the acts were amazing. Mm. I knew it was brilliant. And I knew that I really liked being paid to go somewhere and have a hotel and sing.
Yeah.
And I knew that I loved all that, but I didn't know that much about the scene at all.
It's quite a lucky... I don't know many people who have that story. A lot of people are like, oh, I did a lot of free gigs. Well, I guess you were busking a lot. Yeah. So that...
Well, I mean, the free gigs kind of came after that.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky to have somebody on the scene that I knew who did quite high-profile gigs, but I still had to do all that other crap.
Yeah. How did you find it with the busking? Like, what was it like, busking? I mean, you said it was great because people were actually giving you money for singing.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
But how was it sort of on the day-to-day? Did you ever have a moment where you were like... I cannot actually go out there and ask people for money for this. Were you like, I'm just going to stand in the street and sing?
I don't normally ask people for money. I normally just sing. You know, I think the first time you do it is the worst because you're like, I feel like an idiot. And that continues for quite long. But once you've started singing, actually it just goes away and you're just singing.
Mm.
And it does depend as well because you have days where... You've lugged your amplifier, your mic stand, your microphone. I mean, it depends what kind of singing you're doing. I mostly on the street now do jazz because in Australia I got a really good reception for opera. In London, it's terrible, terrible. So I do kind of vintage, like a little fascinator and make myself look a bit vintagey and sing vintage songs with my vintage mic, which I find there's a much better reception. So
that's really interesting. I saw a beautiful, beautiful opera singer in Sloane Square, actually, opposite the Royal Court, when I went to see a show there last. She was incredible. Like, her voice was phenomenal. She was singing Omia Babino.
Of course, that's the only one that people give money for.
Exactly, but even
I've had to do it. I'm a mezzo. People are like, can you do Omia Babino Carol? You're like, it's for sopranos. It's for... they don't care. So you have to do it. And you have to do, of course... Ness and Dorma.
Yeah.
It's for a man. No, they don't care. They just want it. So there's two songs. And Ave Maria.
Oh, God. Ave Maria, for me, is like funeral music.
Yeah, but you could sing... I think you could sing those three, one after the other, and you'd probably make money, but...
Well, but she was singing Omi Babino, and it was beautiful, and she had a phenomenal voice, but, like, no one seemed to want to stop. And people were just hanging around outside the theatre being like, oh, this is nice. And I was like,
yeah,
give the lady some friggin' money, people.
I think as well with busking... people like something that makes them, something with some rhythm, something that makes them click their fingers or kind of, yeah, this is nice, and opera just doesn't have that generally. I've been surprised sometimes with songs that I've made money on that I didn't think that I would, but mostly I just forget the opera and sing, and because it's hard on the voice as well, it's big stuff, and you have to start, you know, to make a decent wage. You have to stand there for, 2 hours singing? Mm. If you're singing big stuff, it's really hard on the voice. And especially as, for me, I'm a mezzo, so I sing the lower stuff. So I'm a dramatic mezzo. Mm. So nobody's going to pay me for what I like to sing and what is right for my voice. They want, and it's it's not rubbish, but...
It's a lovely piece.
Oh, it's lovely. I'm not really a lovely kind of singer.
No, exactly.
I like the big, like, witches, bitches, blokes, like, rah, the big stuff, like, high bits, low bits, drama. I don't like, I'm so lovely, I'm young and I'm beautiful and I'm slim and I'm blonde and I'm soprano.
Oh, and I'm so in love with a man who hates me or whatever. Not... Like, that seems to be such a trope.
Well, yeah.
It's like I love this man. He's like, haha, I'm a bastard.
And that's a fun story, isn't
it? Yeah, and then at the end, there's got to be the song about like, oh, he was a bastard.
Goodies, baddies. It's still like silly stuff, isn't it? But yeah, I just don't think opera is great for busking for me.
It's interesting that the vintage thing goes down well in London, though.
It really does.
So do you still busk?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, when I get time, I'll go out and do a busking set. It's too hot at the moment, but yeah. I did quite a lot in the winter, actually. I've got a really nice fur coat and kind of fascinator, and people really enjoyed it.
That's really nice as well, because you don't get as much street performance and busking in winter, so it must have been nice to kind of have... Well, you get the Christmas carols.
I've never actually got around to Christmas busking. I bought myself a book with a backing CD, but I've never actually done it. What, this year I'm going to do it.
Well, now this is going out on the internet, so it's going to hold you to that. Yeah. People are going to come and be like, Carmen, busk for us. So you came back to the UK, you did this amazing gig.
Yeah.
And then what happened after that?
I got together with, well, back together with my ex, who is a sideshow performer. So he was doing fire eating and fire juggling, knife juggling as well. At the time, I mean, he's expanded his range of skills now. But we decided to make a double act called Riding the Valkyrie, which went down pretty well. We're doing quite well with that.
Oh, cool.
So we made this kind of... It's a bit like one of those shows where they take loads of different songs from a band. So it's hard to explain. Different songs from different operas. Yeah. With a kind of narrative going through. It was a love story, but...
It's a bit like a review.
Yeah, I suppose. So it was. It started off with... Me singing, and Peter did fire eating, and then, I mean, it's been through loads of different stages. This is kind of the final stage, because I can't really remember all the stages it's been through, but the next song, I pulled loads of cloths out of my corset, and it went on for ages and kind of tempted him.
Yeah.
And then we kissed, and then this is like song number three. Kissed him, and then I decided I don't want him, and go and kiss somebody in the audience, and he gets really jealous, and then slits my throat, and then I die.
Happy.
It's funny. Happy it's little. Funny.
How long was it?
Like, really long for a cabaret, like 11 minutes.
That is quite long.
But because it was loads of different songs, it was kind of a storyline, it never seemed to... People didn't seem to get bored, and I think the fact that it was... opera, but you could understand exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
And all the songs meant what was going on, really. The first one is about a witch getting burnt at the stake, so fire and stuff. The second one was about, oh, there's a cloth in the market, it's got some blood on it, and because it's got some blood in it, it's not worth as much money. So that was the cloth thing. And obviously it's about losing your virginity.
Of course.
The third one was Carmen Habanera. So Carmen is a slut and plays with men's hearts, and that one. And then the final one was Dido's Lament from Dido and Aeneas. So a lovely big dying song, but I made it really silly. I was like, oh, I'm gonna die, and then I'm not blaming the man that I was flirting with, like, you did it. And people would like give me their hankies, or I'd drink their drinks during the song, and just like ridiculous kind of
brilliant,
because it is quite dark, but I didn't want it to be a dark storyline.
Didn't want people to be like crying dark. It's like dark humour.
Yeah, like, yeah, black humour.
Yeah, that's so brilliant.
We were doing that for about 4 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we had other acts as well, so.
Who were you sort of marketing that out to? Was it?
We did a lot of Proud, Camden.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of goth things. Like, goths seemed to love it.
Oh.
But we did Whitby Goth Festival.
Whitby Goth Festival. Yeah. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
It's huge, I guess.
It's huge.
Oh, I feel really ignorant now.
It's like the goths. Wow. Big party time.
Wow. I kind of want to go to it just to an observer.
I didn't like it.
What? Why?
Can I ask I'm why? Really not a goth, and they're all quite like insular. And I had a big pink, baby pink leather jacket, full length. And they were just like, who is that?
Not in the approved uniform of black.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I mean, I had a really nice time, but I mainly had a nice time in the pub and in the cream tea shop and on the beach and kind of...
Yeah.
Not so much at the goth stuff. Although the gig was really fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Did you get a good reception?
Yeah, they loved it.
Yeah, probably. Well, it's got dying and stuff.
An opera.
Dying and opera, yeah. That works.
Pretty gothic, really, isn't it?
It is, kind of, yeah. That's cool, though.
Yeah.
So where did you go after that? Why did you decide to stop performing? Was it end of the relationship, or...?
Yes, quite recently.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right. No, so that kind of ended, and...
Sounds like it was an okay ending.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, we're still friends.
That's good.
But I wanted to remarket myself, because I'd been a solo performer, but I'd always used my real name, and I was like, I just really want to kind of get rid of that and start something new.
Mm.
So I made Carmen Monoxide.
Yeah. It's a brilliant name.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
My friend Darren in Dubai, I think, came up with that. He's good with them.
How did no one have that before?
Well, there's somebody in America called Carmen Monoxide, a couple of people. But there's no, it doesn't. They're drag performers, and they're in America, and they're just Carmen Monoxide. And I thought, well, if I split it into three, Carmen Monoxide, it's like Dieter Von Teese,
yeah,
kind of,
yeah,
burlesque,
a bit different.
And I won't be the same as them.
Well, you're clearly not drag.
I hope people don't think I'm a drag queen.
Clearly not drag. So. That finished, and then did you want to, when you went back to solo performing, did you just work on a new act completely, or did you go back to some of the stuff you've been using from busking, or?
Well, I mean, it's all repertoire, isn't it? I use a bit of this, bit of that. I actually found this, the reason I changed my name was because I wanted to start doing burlesque. I found an amazing song, and I was just like, I have to get my tits out to this. Oh, like, I could picture it, and I was like, okay, so basically I can't really use my real name anymore. I need a persona, so I made this persona and started doing burlesque, singing while burlesquing.
Mm-hmm. Did you get any burlesque lessons, or did you just work it out?
It's just, I mean, singing while you're taking your clothes off, isn't it? If you can sing while you're taking a straitjacket off, if you can sing while you're acting and doing opera stuff, then you can sing while you're taking your clothes off, surely.
Yeah, I reckon so. Well, it depends what style you're doing in. Some people would argue you need, like, the burlesque dance classes and the art of the tease and the... I think it depends what character you're making.
Yeah, well, I just thought, I'm just going to be me and I'm just going to get my tits out on stage. I like to keep things simple.
It probably makes it better that way, that you're like, well, I just want to do it and just do it.
Yeah. I mean, mainly for me, it's about the singing and the performance while you're singing. And for this song... I don't think it really needed to be big or fancy. It's just very kind of simple.
Yeah, that's nice. So where did you learn how to do taking off a straitjacket? Was that from your ex who was into...
Yeah, we did loads of stuff together. We would do bed of nails. He would cut a melon in half on my stomach while I was singing. Oh, we did all sorts, walking on broken glass, and all this stuff is in my repertoire if I ever need it.
Yeah, that's useful.
Oh, yeah, useful. Really useful.
Useful little relationship there.
Yeah, learnt loads of great skills.
Your weird bag of tricks.
I know. Yeah, it's a bit bonkers, isn't it?
I'm trying to work out how to get some human blockhead into the belly dancing.
That'd be good.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out how to do it. My favourite one, actually, is not using a nail, but like using a screw. That really freaked my brothers out. That was fun. I was like, look what I learned at the circus, started screwing a giant screw into my face.
Money well spent there. Circus school, look what I learned.
Oh, it wasn't circus school, it was just working with the circus. One of the performers who had a dog act was like, oh, I do a bit of, you know, sideshow. I was like, really? He was like, yeah, look. And he just stuck a teaspoon in his nose and, like, you know, into his face. And I was like, can you teach me how to do that? And everyone else was like, ugh.
Brilliant. I can't believe it still freaks people out.
I know. It's pretty... Well, all I'm saying is, don't try it at home.
Try it in the pub.
Unless someone you know who knows how to do it is there to tell you the correct direction to place the thing.
That is true.
Because you don't want to put it into your brain.
No, that's probably the worst outcome.
Yeah. Just don't try it at home. Don't listen to this and think you can do it. It's not a good idea. There's a little trick to it. You should probably learn.
Yeah. I mean, I always think the sideshow is something that anyone can do, but 99% of people don't want to do it because it's too...
Well, yeah, like wrong. Stapling shit to yourself.
Stapling and, yeah.
That's just, I mean, that just is pain tolerance, isn't it? Just stapling shit to yourself is like...
Yeah, I mean, I never did that. I never really wanted to.
That's fair enough.
I mean, it'd be quite cool to do that while singing, but...
Might change the tone of your voice a little bit.
It could be funny.
It could be funny. So I guess it just depends how much effort you want to expend on it.
Yeah. You'd have to practice as well. I think with that kind of thing, once you get the adrenaline going, you don't feel the pain so much. But if you've got practice at home...
You've got to rehearse it for no one. It'd be like... God, yeah. I really want to do that.
A bit like the straitjacket escape. I just practiced that at home on the boat. And because it was just me, as well as taking it off, I had to practice putting it on.
Oh, no.
Which is actually even harder on your own than getting it off.
Oh, my God, I can imagine. How do you, like, tie yourself in?
Oh, it's not fun. It really isn't.
That sounds like a lot of faff.
Yeah, on a boat and you're, like, jumping around singing with a straitjacket and you're like, please, hope there's not too many people listening outside or anyone trying to have a peek through the windows.
So, when did you start living on a boat?
2 years ago.
Yeah. So that was moving from the van or moving from another squat? Or...
We were living in the squat at the time.
Yeah. And you thought, actually, I want a boat.
You're like, yeah, we're getting too old for this shit, man. Yeah, let's move onto a boat.
Yeah. Nice move.
Yeah.
Squat to boat. That's cool.
Yeah, it's quite common, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us out there that have gone from squats to boats.
Yeah. It's nice. It's kind of almost like, you know, that nice alternative way of living.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. Like, I've never paid rent in this country. Touch wood, I never will. And I don't want to live in a house. It just seems really weird to me to live in one place.
Mm.
Like every day you walk the same route from the station to your house and you never...
Doesn't change.
It doesn't change. That just seems really odd to me.
That's one of the things I loved about living with the circus, isn't it? Like living outdoors and being able to just kind of go.
Yeah, that's it. Being outdoors. You just open your door and suddenly you're out.
Yeah, it's nice, whereas when you're in a house, you're like, oh, maybe I'll go in the garden.
Yeah.
It's very set, outdoors space.
Yeah.
A little bit prison-like. So when you started out with your solo act,
mm-hmm.
where did you begin to market that? And how did you... I mean, I guess you had a lot of experience of being in a double act.
Yeah.
So you knew people.
Yeah, that's it. I know quite a lot of people on the circuit, so just started pushing it. I'm trying to get more fetish gigs, because I really enjoy doing that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, really.
What is it about the fetish scene that's so attractive?
Just like it. Just like all the different outfits and all the different people, and it's just fun to go to. And it's different from the cabaret circuit as well, which is nice because I've been doing that for quite a long time. So I've been trying to make my act a little more
latexy.
Weird. Yeah.
A little more latex.
Yeah, latex, yeah, and maybe a bit of kink in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Nice. How did you end up going to Dubai? Where does that fit in the timeline?
I got back about just over a year ago, and I was there for 3 months. So I think they really wanted Pete to go over there, and Peter didn't want to go on his own. And they said, oh, well, we'll get both of you over there, because I knew I was a performer as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, we both went over to perform in Cirque du Soir Dubai, which was a funny old experience.
Yeah, what was it like? What happened?
Very weird place. Very weird.
Yeah.
You know, hardly met any Arabs. It's all kind of Westerners and French, and well, obviously French are Westerners. But yeah, mainly like rich people on their holidays or people that live there.
Business people,
yeah. And they all just come out to this weird place, which is kind of, when you get there, you're like, oh my God, it's so space age. And
yeah, what's the club like? Because I've seen Cirque du Soir London, that's where I met you at the Cirque du Soir auditions for London. So what's the Dubai club like?
It's all right. Justin Bieber came one day. It was a big fight. Yeah, big fight. Justin Bieber just decided he wanted this one table and just kicked some people off. And they're like, what are you doing? This is our table.
He was like, I'm Justin Bieber. I'm covered in shit tattoos.
Yeah, I'm Justin Bieber. So? Get out. Yeah, apparently he said, I'm never going to Cirque du Soir again. Oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. This might be...
No, I saw that on the internet.
Yeah.
Sorry. We can always censor this.
I think it's pretty fine.
Yeah. So who did you know in Cirque du Soir Dubai that where you went out there?
Billy Ray was managing the performers, and Lexi Sex, as she was known, she was there as well doing the kind of, I'm not sure what her job actually was, actually costumes and stuff.
Had you met both of them before?
Yeah. Met both of them. Had I met Billy? Maybe I hadn't met Billy, but I had met Lexi a long time ago.
Ages ago.
Yeah.
Like 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
She's lovely.
Yeah, they're both really lovely.
I really liked her. So you went out to Dubai with them, and what was your average day in Dubai like?
So, average day. Wake up about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Because you've been performing late the night before.
Yeah, you perform really late. Bit of breakfast, maybe we lived in a hotel, so maybe go down to the pool, have a little swim, bit of sunbathing, maybe drink a beer, even though it costs £6.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You think you're being paid a good wage and all? Like,
I mean, the beer is really expensive, but you're by the pool and you're just like, I'm absolutely boiling. Oh, I just want to have a beer. So you have a beer. And then, or maybe go to the beach. The days are pretty chilled out. But, I mean, you didn't get that much time to enjoy it, because by the time you've woken up at 3 and then had some breakfast and then gone out, and then you've got to come back, and then you've got to be at the club by 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
So go to the club, eat some dinner, get your makeup done, which can take ages, depends on what character you are.
So you play different characters?
Different characters, yeah. You have a set of about 10 characters, I suppose, that you mm-hmm. play.
The makeup artist doing that for you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, makeup artist is so good. I love it. Then perform. It's kind of, I can't remember what it was, like 20 minutes on, and then you have a break, or you might go from one podium to another podium playing your character. You might be in a glass box on the podium or on the stage, and then go and have a rest, and then go back out,
mm-hmm.
finish about 3:30, maybe go and have something to eat after that, or just go home, chill out for a bit, go to sleep. It was quite intense.
It's like working a night shift.
Yeah.
It's properly working a night shift.
Yeah.
How did you enjoy it as a performer?
I did enjoy it, yeah. But I mean, for me, speaking and singing is my main things. I did comparing as well. So as long as I've got a microphone, as long as I'm talking, I'm happy. But there, mostly I was doing character performing without a microphone, without anything, you know, just to music and... It's not really, I'm not really a physical performer, I'm more of a vocal performer. So I found it hard. But yeah, I did enjoy it. It's good to have a full-time job as a performer, isn't it? Whatever it is.
Yeah. How was it living in a hotel?
It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. Cleaners come in and we're there all asleep and have to go away, we're still asleep. We're on night shifts and they're like, oh, sorry. But yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really... bizarre existence, kind of like, yeah, like a Twilight Zone kind of thing.
Yeah,
you're in a foreign country and you don't really know anyone except your band of performers.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah,
go to other performers' houses, and obviously the only place you can drink is in hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an Irish pub. There was an Irish pub opposite the hotel, so we ended up spending a lot of time in the Irish pub. You go all the way to Dubai and you spend your time in the Irish pub.
It's all glamour. It's all glamour, this international performing lifestyle.
Terrible.
So, you got back about a year ago. What have you been doing since then?
I've been performing as my solo character. I've been doing London Bridge Experience. I did some Christmas elf work.
Awesome.
I worked as a Christmas elf, which was...
Awesome or not
a bit
awesome?
Weird. It was all right. I've done Christmas elf work before. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that you end up doing as a performer.
Yeah.
This one was... no. There was no stress, really. It was generally pretty quiet. And I've done it before with companies where it's like, you've got to make them buy the photo. You've got to try and make them buy it. You've got to make money and blah, 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 blah. This one was just like two elves and a Father Christmas sat in this shed, basically.
Where was this?
Edmonton. But it was £11 an hour. So I didn't have... Because...
I'll do just, anything for £11 an hour.
Pretty much, yeah.
I feel like this podcast is going to shatter a lot of naive people's illusions about the glamour of the performer's lifestyle.
Sorry about that, yeah. Come here and, yeah, darlings, I'm an opera singer and also a Christmas elf and anything really.
A bar wench on the London Bridge Experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll do anything. What was I saying? Yeah, Christmas elf. Two elves and a Father Christmas. Father Christmas was an out-of-work actor, or an actor, I should say.
A resting actor.
Resting. Not the rest of us, really.
Always resting.
And he just talked about himself all the time, unless he was asleep. And we had just so few visitors, I'd just sit there like, oh, my God. And he'd go, oh, and I was in this, and I've got this outfit, and you've got to get on Star Now. And I've just got this police
Star,
outfit.
Really? He recommended Star Now.
Star Now. Oh. So that was... kind of thinking £11 an hour and just nod until he falls asleep, and then he'll fall asleep, and then hopefully we'll get like a few minutes rest, and then you go like, someone's coming. Probably be like, oh, okay, right, oh, hello little boy, what do you want for Christmas, and all that rubbish.
That's absolutely brilliant.
So, yeah, I made some money.
Have you done any gigs in the last year that you've been like, this is the life?
Yeah. I did a really good one, actually. I was hired by an entertainment agency to go up to Chepstow. I borrowed my parents' car to drive up there, and they paid me quite a lot of money. And they asked me, how much would you charge to go up to Chepstow and sing? And I quoted them something that I thought was quite a lot. And they said, that's fine. I said, how long do you want me to sing for? 2 songs. I was like,
what?
2 songs. They're like, yeah, we're going to put you up in a hotel. We're going to pay you. We're going to pay your travel. You know, you're free to use the spa. And when I got there, they were like, have you eaten? Have some dinner. Just charge it on my account. And you're like, this is amazing. And they're like, oh, it's so beautiful. And they asked me to sing Ness and Dorma. Ness and Bloody Dorma, as I call it. And I thought, you know what? For what they're paying me, you can have what you like. I'll sing it like strung up, upside down, stark naked, if you want, for that much money, basically. And if anyone wants to book me to do that, I will, by the way. But you've got to flash the cash. So
they want Ness and Dorma, is going to cost you some money.
Ness and Dorma naked, upside down. You've got to flash the cash for that. But there is an act in that, definitely.
Fetish club.
Definitely, yeah. No one's allowed to nick that, by the way.
copyright, carbon monoxide, right here.
So that was a really good gig, yeah. Eating, and they were like, we want you to be a surprise, so come and eat with us and have a drink and then just get up and start singing. So I did my 2 songs. They were like, oh, that was amazing. Oh, it was amazing. Just like being in Venice, because it was a masked ball thing, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
It's brilliant. And I thought, oh, they'd probably be a bit stuffy, like golfers party. But they're like, I can't do a Welsh accent. But they're like, oh, hello, darling, how are you? Come in. Like, oh. I just think, oh, yeah, this is the life.
That's great.
Rock up, sing 2 songs, look glamorous. Yeah.
Corporates pay you well.
They do. I mean, the bad thing was my mum had made me this amazing dress and I looked brilliant. But, the zip got stuck. I went to my hotel room and I couldn't get out of my dress. I literally couldn't, and it was just me in my hotel room in this fantastic room.
No.
And I had to jump up and down, and finally I managed to get out of this dress. I thought, I'm going to have to go down to reception in this ball gown and just say, look, can you
help me?
Can you help me, please? I'm stuck in my dress. But luckily I didn't have to.
Oh my God. There's always that moment when you're stuck in clothes where there's just this panic where you're like, I'm never going to get out. It's never gonna happen.
I'm in a hotel in Wales. I'm gonna have to go down and ask the receptionist.
It's worse when you're in a fitting room. You get stuck in shop clothes.
Yeah.
Don't go shopping very often. It happened more than once to me, and maybe why I don't go shopping very often. You're just stuck in the fitting room with your arms up over your head, like, I can't move. Well,
it's a bit too small. You're like, definitely, that'll definitely fit me. Definitely. Yeah. So I was 10. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll go. Yeah,
but doing loads of walking lately from the sofa to the fridge.
Yeah.
That'll fit. Is it different? How do you feel sort of doing like comparing compared to doing sort of your act?
I really enjoy it. I absolutely love comparing because I'm quite a chatty person, and I think I'm quite good at it. I don't like to blow my own trumpet so much, but I think I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And I've seen some other people that aren't as good at it, and I think, actually, yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I enjoy chatting. I enjoy talking to people. I've done loads of jobs like that, like explaining, and I've taught kids about this, that and the other, the canal and all sorts, really. And I just really, really enjoy it. And you get to sing and you get to talk and you get to be funny. And that's all suits me.
Yeah.
It's pretty well.
So it's a fun gig, but it's so, so high stakes. Cause if the compare's bad, it can just turn the whole show.
It really is, yeah.
And it...
And you, I think as well with comparing, you have to be, you're on the whole night.
Yeah.
It's not like you go on, you do a 5-minute act, you come off. When you're comparing, I think you need to know who's going to come on, who's going to come off. I like to know if the stage is set right. You know, I like to kind of, and I quite like the responsibility, actually. You feel like you're in charge.
Yeah.
Like, even though, you know, obviously the promoter is in charge. But when you're a compare, you feel like you're the face of the night. If something goes wrong, it's up to you to cover it up. And I quite like that responsibility. You know, you feel like if you're doing a good job and the audience is enjoying it, you're really doing
it
right.
It's very performative stage management in a way. It's sort of, it's that blend of back and front of house.
Yeah.
It's tricky as well.
Stressful, very stressful.
I've seen compares like reading off the back of their hand who's going to come on next.
Oh God, me too.
And I just feel like being like, you know, if you've forgotten, just like go ask your, you know, your stage assistant. Like go up, just stick your head back and just set, apologise the audience in a funny way or something, yeah, and just be like, oh, had too much to drink.
I mean, it's happened to me on a couple of occasions where you just, their name goes out of your head. And it does happen. But I mean, what can you do? You've been there, you've been on stage, you're chatting, you've made a joke, you've interacted with somebody.
It's like John Travolta at the Oscars.
Suddenly, you can't remember. I mean, mistakes happen. But I mean, basically, as a compere, that's your job. Your job is to introduce the act. You could come on and go, this is Rosie Cole.
Hey, hi.
That is basically your job. And if you can't remember the names, and you've got to have a piece of paper, I think that's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, just the back of the hand thing gets me, because everyone can see the writing.
I don't think I've ever actually seen anyone. I've seen people with... and sometimes I do have a piece of paper, just in case. Stuff it down my bra or my corset. And then at least if you forget, you can go, hang on a minute. And then you can get it out and it's funny and it's silly.
Yeah.
But, pretty bad.
I feel like there's so many more questions I have about, like... But I'm going to ask you The final question. Well, it's sort of double-sided question. There may be more questions following on from it, depending what happens.
Okay.
But what is the best thing that's ever happened to you on stage? And what is the worst thing that's ever happened to you on stage?
The best thing, I think... I can't think of a best one. Oh, I know. I was busking. I went to Australia, as you know, and I was busking outside Motorhead concert because I didn't have any tickets and I really wanted to go and I didn't have enough money for a ticket.
Yeah.
So I took my Motorhead t-shirt, my horned helmet. Did I have my horned helmet? I think I must have done. Maybe I didn't. Can't remember anyway. But I made a big cardboard sign saying, busking for Motorhead tickets, please help. And in brackets, tickets or money accepted. And I was busking. And like a few people gave me a few coins, but nothing much, and just carried on singing. Finally, gig's about to start, and some man goes to me, there you go, gave me a ticket. And I was like, what? He's like, there you go, if you want to go in, there you go. I was like, you're joking, it actually worked. He's like, yeah, there you go, have that.
That's amazing.
So I dumped my cardboard sign and went in and saw Motorhead.
And made a few bob out of it as well. Yeah. Well, that's all right.
So that was pretty good, yeah.
Evening well spent.
Yeah, that's it. Great. Sometimes you just have to have the balls, don't you, to just go, okay, I'm going to give it a go. Why not?
That seems to be like pretty much your entire performing career is just being like, ah, fuck it, I'll do it.
Why not? You might as well give it a go.
Just having the balls to do it.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah. What about the worst thing that's ever happened to you on stage?
Oh, I've had a few things that have happened to me. Pasties coming off, that's pretty normal, isn't it?
Nipples out on stage. Yeah. Proper nipples, not the fake nipples people stick over their nipples, because apparently the rest of the boob is okay, but the nipple is not.
Yes.
That's the rude bit.
That's weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
I was in a strip club, so it was okay. Yeah. But worst thing, probably when I've been doing this old people's job, someone did shout out to me, shut up. I mean, that's okay, I don't mind that so much. Somebody did say to me, I was singing, like, Singing away, it's all going fine.
In an old people's home.
Someone's waving at me, so like beckoning me over. So I went over, obviously I'm in full costume and makeup. And he goes, excuse me. I was like, yeah. He goes, I need to do a big job. And I was like, oh my God. And this woman goes, he needs to do a poo. And I was like, oh no, no. I was like, just called a nurse. Oh, this isn't my job. I can't deal with this.
You asked the woman dressed as a giant bee to help you do a poo.
No, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to. That was pretty bad.
That's a low point.
When I was working with my ex as well, we did have a couple of points where he got injured, because sideshow can be dangerous. Don't try it at home, people. It can be dangerous. And we've had a couple of injuries on stage. Was it glass? Yeah, glass was the worst one, I think. Cut his foot quite badly during the act, not even at the end, you know, and I didn't know how badly it was, and then suddenly there was just blood everywhere, and that was fun.
Yeah. It's not supposed to happen.
It's not supposed to happen, though.
So you're supposed to be able to walk on the glass without that happening.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Is there any, like, burns or...
Burns, not so much. We have had a couple of different injuries. We did this thing. We went to a gig and they wanted us to do two acts, but we only thought they wanted us to do one act. And we were like, okay, we'll just make something up. And somebody had told us that there's a trick where you put a paving slab on you and you hit it with a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had told us you can do it with plates.
Right.
We had a load of plates in the van. So we were like, okay, let's just do it with plates. And I was like, I think you've got to put a tea towel across. He was like, no, you don't. You definitely don't. I was like, I think you probably do. He's like, no, it's fine. So,
You're the one under the plate, though, right?
No, he's under the plate.
Oh, he's under the plate.
Yeah,
he's under the plate. And he's the one who should have the tea towel on him.
Yeah. So I hit him, and I just looked down, and he had this massive slice across his, like, torso.
Oh, my God.
Well, I was just like, take a bow. I was like, just get off the stage. Get off the stage now. Just run off. Like. There was no blood. It was, like, for some reason, it was really deep, but...
Oh, but that happens occasionally, and then the blood happens later.
Yeah,
like, really bad. There's a weird delay between your body going, oh, there's a mistake.
But mainly, yeah, mainly I've done all right.
Apart from, like, you know, what your ex-gang's lifestyle.
Yeah, this was him and not me.
You've not been horrifically injured during the sideshow. At times,
when we've done the melon thing, he has missed.
And he's sliced you.
Well, yeah, it's been quite painful, quite bad. But you know, this is performing, isn't it?
Was it like stitches worthy?
No, it wasn't quite that bad.
Okay, it's like a lot of plasters.
Yeah,
a lot of plasters. Yeah.
I don't know, who'd do this as a living? I sometimes ask myself that when I'm lugging gear around and sweating, and I've got my big wig in a bucket, and you just think, what am I doing? But then
the good moments.
What else would you do? What else would I do? What else would I do? I don't want to do anything else.
We're qualified in linguistics, so you could do a linguistics thing. There's always the call centre.
Yeah, there's always the call centre, quite.
Well, I mean, when you've been street performing, what has your worst heckle ever been? Has anyone ever yelled, like, get a job? Or do people mainly... Or do they respect
shut
you?
Shut up! Is one. Or people like to walk past when I'm singing opera, when I'm singing jazz, nothing really. When I'm singing opera, people just go, oh! You just think,
really?
What? Why? Why would you do that? Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, I know.
That's such a bizarre response.
Yes. Yeah. That's it.
What? As if that's gonna. What? It's like all these situations. Like, what do they expect to happen?
I don't know. It's like walking past someone playing the drums and going ba ba da ba da ba 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 da. Yeah, that's brilliant. Like, I didn't go, yes, mate, love it. It's brilliant, fantastic. And maybe just like,
maybe you should do that more often in front of people who are drumming on the street. Ba ba da ba. Just walk off.
Maybe I will.
Just a bit of opera heckle there for you.
Yeah, have some of that. Ba ba da ba ba. I don't know. I don't understand.
People are strange.
They really are.
It's so interesting that they only do that for opera, though, and not for jazz or any other kind of singing.
Because opera is stuffy and, you know, all of these things that it really isn't.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
I feel like this is another really intense, like, long conversation about people's perceptions of opera. And
yeah.
I'm going to say something really cheesy.
What?
To kind of, like, wrap up. But, you know, you'd, like... People seeing you on the cabaret circuit and suddenly going, oh, opera. They're kind of like a little introduction to opera. I would posit that carbon monoxide is a gateway drug.
Yes.
To opera.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deadly.
Yeah.
It's a deadly gas.
Gateway drug.
That leads to liking opera.
A lot of people die in opera, so that's...
Oh, yes.
Oh, they're dying all over the place.
I love it.
Various
Everyone
causes.
Loves a good death, don't they? And don't call them soap operas for nothing. It is like
it's true.
Up and down and drama and cheating lovers and
yeah. Well, opera. I mean, opera used to be like, you know, and classical music, like before the gramophone was invented.
Yeah.
The only way you could hear music would be live.
Yeah.
And that was all classical, so it was like pop music.
Yeah.
It's so weird to think about that now. And you're like, oh, it's too stuffy. You have to be really educated. I bet like Beethoven would be cracking up.
Some of it is. Really boring. I'm not going to say it isn't. Some of it is piss boring.
Yeah. Oh.
But some of it is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think, yeah, it's... If you find the right way in,
yeah.
you you find what you like.
It's hard when you don't know about something, because you could go and see... I mean, I absolutely hate Mozart. I hate it. I find it really twee and dull. And oh, there's someone hiding behind a sofa. Ha, 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 ha. I mean, maybe that was funny back in the day. But now I just think...
Shakespeare seemed to think it was quite funny. Just, someone's hiding in a hedge.
It's just, for me, it just seems rubbish.
Yeah.
And I could understand if someone went to a Mozart opera and just came out going, rubbish, rubbish. But you have to work out what you like, which is hard when you haven't got any knowledge. So
yeah,
I think it's good.
Right, we should probably wind up.
We definitely should. We're going on for ages, aren't we?
For a while, probably.
You can cut out the rubbish bits.
I don't know if there are any rubbish bits. It's been really fun. Carmen, thank you so much for taking time to talk
to me. You're
very welcome. Where can people find you in the world? Like, website, Facebook,
Twitter? You can find me on Facebook. I am Carmen Monoxide. Three words. Like Dieter von Teese, but more operatic.
Is that Facebook/... What were they typing into their browser bar?
Now you're asking. I don't know.
Just search for carbon monoxide, three different
words. Yeah,
that's
it. Yeah, I think I'm wearing a big black and white, big wig. You can also find me on the internet at www.cabaretopera.co.uk.
Nice.
And that's got loads of pictures and videos and everything you'd ever want to know about me. Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. Twitter, have you got a Twitter?
Got Twitter? Yeah, somewhere. I have. But I don't know what it is. Carbon monoxide. Yeah. I'm not very good with this social networking, am I?
I'll search out the links and I'll put them... I do a blog post with everyone, so I'll put them on the blog.
That would be underneath. Brilliant.
So if you're confused by any of this, I'll put them on the blog.
I am.
I've been, once again, Rosie Cole. Thank you so much, audience, for listening. Looking at the stats, you are from all over the world, and that's incredible.
Brilliant.
And terrifying, especially people in Lithuania. What's up, Lithuania? That's so cool.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah, it was awesome when I found that out. I was like, really? Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Cool. Have I seen in Latvia?
Yeah, maybe. Take us there. We'll go. Yeah, I'll go. Cool. I'll go out there. Yeah. I've got some belly dancing friends out there, I'm sure.
Cool. Yeah. Let's go.
That'd be fun. Still show there. I forgot what I was going to say now. I was going to wrap this up and say my thing.
Sorry.
If you have anything that you want to hear on the podcast, anyone you'd like to hear from, any suggestions or comments, send them my way. You can email me at rosiecoledancer@gmail.com. You can find me on the Facebook at facebook.com/rosiecoledancer. You can find me on my website, rosiecole.com, or you can find me on the Twitter @rosie_cole. Thank you so much and have a lovely evening.